James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetter, a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. For if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows, and their afflicted, and to keep himself unspotted before the world. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, hey, we got to help him preach fast. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a subject I simply entitled, Being a Five-Star Christian. You know, you watch when they're recruiting people for high school, they get rated, whether they're three-star, four-star, or five-star. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody sign a two-star, but most of the time, they don't fool with them. And they're rated by recruiting agencies according to what kind of abilities they have and how they match up to what's going to happen when they get to college. And the ones that are five-star are considered the ones that's most likely to make it to the next level. They do the same thing with college players as they look at them and say, okay, this guy has the ability to go to the next level. Now, there are some guys that are good players that they're good college players. They'll never make it in the pros. Alabama had a young man who was probably as good a quarterback as they've had in years, but he never could make it in the pros. He said, I went to practice twice, realized it was too fast for me, and I came home with selling trailers. Glory. I'll never forget a few years ago, I was helping and in the junior high. And there was a young man there. Alicia was a cheerleader, and I was out there. Coach Long come by me one day. He said, hey, would you talk to that young man? He needs to get his grades in order, and I can't seem to get through to him. There were two young men on that team that were tremendous athletes. One of them was faster than Grease Lightning. Y'all know what Grease Lightning looks like? Just figure lightning revels at 187,000 miles a second. If you grease, it's going to go faster than that. Glory. All I can tell you is sometimes when he ran down the field, you want to throw water on the ground, put it out, because he'd leave fire behind him. He was fast. One of them was a running back. The other one was a fullback. Both of them had college potential. One of them paid attention to what was said. He realized that it wasn't going to just be his abilities, but his dedication that was going to get him somewhere. The fast guy signed with Alabama out of high school. Couldn't qualify because of his grades. Because though he was fast as Grease Lightning, he was dumber than a rock. Now, the truth of the matter is he wasn't that dumb because he could memorize every play he wanted to. He just didn't care about school. And he didn't realize if you don't dedicate yourself to what you're doing, you will never accomplish what you're after. The other young man, in the other words, turned his life around. He ended up going to Alabama also. He's now playing for the Kansas City Chiefs as a fullback in the Professional Football League, and he's now a millionaire. After being raised in the ghetto. You know why? Because he realized my only way out is to dedicate myself completely to what I'm going to do so that I won't be a two-star or a three-star, but I want to be the best I can be, and that's a five-star. And can I tell you, we as Christians need to look in a mirror sometime and look at ourselves and say, wait a minute, what do I want to be? Do I want to be the best I can be for God? Do I want to accomplish everything God's got for me in my life? Or do I want to just get by and hope everything works out? Hello? Some of you sitting there say, preacher, what are you doing? I want you to understand why I am who I am and why I do what I do. When I got saved, I had a choice. I could sit around the rest of my life being dumb in the scripture and not ever making it, or I could dedicate myself to the word of God. I could dedicate myself to prayer. I could dedicate myself to what God had a calling in my life to do, and I could become somebody. And you know what? I'm still not got where I want to be, but I'm a whole lot farther than I was when I started down this road. And what God's looking for is people who will sell out to him and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. Could you say amen? I focus on that 22nd verse of James chapter 1 when it says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. It's amazing how many of y'all can hear the word and then act like it didn't really apply to you. We think it's funny, but it's not. Hello? We week after week here preaching, talk to us about moving, doing something for God. Almost every evangelist that's been in this church since I've been here has told us God's got something for us, that we're going to see growth. We're going to see God do something. And yet we still got people that don't understand it will never happen until we decide to take hold of what God's trying to do and say, God, use me. I may not be the greatest, but I am the implement that you can use. And in using me, you can make a difference in the world. I mean, God wants Alabaster Church of God to come to life. It's time for us to move into his presence and let God begin to move in us. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. He said, be doers of the word, not just hearers. Why? Because if all you do is listen, you deceive yourself. Do you realize there are a lot of people today that think, I'm okay? They've read that book. I wish it had never been written. I'm okay, you're okay. No, you're not. If you're not in the word and doing what the word of God says do, you're not okay. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Well, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. If you're a Christian, you got to dedicate yourself to the word of God. Amen. Glory. All that's good stuff. If you're a five-star Christian, then you have to look for the promises of God. Amen. There are rewards that wait for those that are willing to sell out to God. You say, what are you talking about? Answered prayer, happy life, walking with the Lord, a spring in your walk when you get up in the morning, not afraid to go to bed at night. Come on, church. Y'all may not believe this, but we got folks can't go to sleep without taking something. If you'd really sell out to God, you'd be surprised how you could just. Glory. Oh, I lost some of you on that one, but this is the truth. Glory. Amen. You save a lot of money if you didn't have to buy that stuff to go to sleep with. I don't know why I'm getting the looks I'm getting. Maybe I need to stop right here and go back on to the sins of the last day. Glory. Some of y'all might have missed that, in case you did. One of the sins is called sorcery. Comes from the Greek word pharmakia, which means mind-altering drugs. I know I could leave it, but that seems like a good point to stay with. I could just let this stay here. No, the truth of the matter is we've got people that, I mean, let's face it. You can't go to bed at night. You can't get up in the morning. You can't function without taking something. And church, we need to get to that place where we realize we sell out to God. That's not necessary. You say, oh, yeah, it is. No, it's not. I remember when I had to take something to go to bed, and I had to take something to get up. They called it drug addiction. I mean, they weren't nice about it, saying, oh, the doctor give it to me. I bought mine on the street. But it's the same difference. It was a pharmacy. Glory. But you know what? When I sold out to God, I didn't need it anymore. I found myself going to bed without help. I got up without help. I began to function without help. And you know why? Because I fill the void in my life with a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and a peace that pass all understanding and a glory of God in my life. Could you say amen? Glory. Well, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm telling you, church, that if we sell out to God, if 120 men in an upper room can get filled with the Holy Ghost and see 2,000 souls saved, and if 12 men can turn the world upside down, then we of the Alabaster Church of God can move this city for the glory of God and see God do something in our life if we can become five-star people for him. Glory. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? Yes. See, when I got saved, I had a preacher come to me, Brother Clements. He was an older preacher. Guy was 90-something years old. He preached in three nursing homes at two street corners every week. Y'all have heard me talk about Brother Clements. He was the one that was set in the middle aisle, had three sets of pews instead of two like we do at Northport. In the middle section, he'd sit about halfway across, and he'd get up. He'd, excuse me. He'd get to the end of that pew. Wow! Here you go. He'd dance down that thing. 96 years old. He'd dance to one end of the church. And back a few minutes, he'd stop and say, excuse me. He'd go back over and sit down like nothing happened. Some folk thought he was crazy. But most of the folks in the church knew him from years back when he had a load of logs roll across him, break every bone in his body, and they left him for dead and finally put him in a body cast. And a few months later, he cut himself out of that cast and went back to work because God healed him. And because of that, folks in that community knew who he was, and they understood he was a man that believed in God, the man that touched God. And old Brother Clements locked up to me one day, and he looked at me. He said, son, here's something you got to realize. He said, live what you preach, because you don't have a right to preach it if you ain't going to do it yourself. Glory. Hello? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? If we're not going to live what we're doing, then we don't need to tell the rest of the world what it's all about. But if we can live it, then we can let them see in us the value of the power of living for God. Some of y'all need to realize the people you work with every day need to know the God you're supposed to know. And if you'll sell out to him and become a five-star Christian, you pass a harvest field every day of your life of somebody that can see in you the presence and the power and the glory of Almighty God. Amen. Listen, it's time for us to get out of the secret service. Joel chapter 2 gives a very good expression for the church. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth in his chamber and the bride out of her closet. I think it's time we got out the closet and put some other folks back in it. Hello? Oh, I knew that'd go over like a lead balloon, but some of y'all need to understand we've hid long enough and let the world do what they want to do. It's time for the church to stand up and say, wait a minute, this isn't right. It may not be politically correct for me to tell you that, but I'm not politically correct. I've never said I was politically correct. I'm biblically correct, and it'll never be politically correct to be biblically correct, because this world thinks they can do what they want and everything's all right. But there is one way, one life, one truth, and that is Jesus Christ in this word, and that is the only way to make it to an eternity with God. And I'm not going to let somebody think they can do it any other way, because I don't want their blood on my hands. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe that? Yes, I do. A great church is made up of strong Christians and strong families. Do you really want to build a church? Amen. Do you really want to see God do something? Number one, if you're going to, we must read God's word. Somebody said, well, preacher, do you believe that's the way it's got to go? It's the only way. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. The only way we get faith is to hide the word of God in us. Come on, church. Psalms chapter 119, verse 16. I will delight myself in the statutes, and I will not forget thy word. For deal bountifully with my servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Compare the scripture to this in Psalms 119, 88. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know what he said? He said, your word's settled in heaven. The problem is getting us to settle it down here. Glory. Can I tell you, God don't have to have nobody's permission to say what he wants to in heaven. If he speaks it, it's law, automatic. Amen. He don't have to know if you like it or not. Oh, that's good preaching. Glory. Amen. Memorize scriptures. Put the word of God in your heart. Psalms 119, 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. For the word have I hid in my heart, that it might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Glory. Psalms 119 and 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, before I hate every false way. For thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? If we put the word of God in our heart, we don't have trouble living right. I have people say, preacher, it's so hard. No, it's not. You make it hard by not using the tools God gave you. If you hide the word of God in your heart, it'll keep you from messing up. But not only that, if you'll get in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we allow the Spirit to lead us and the word of God to be our guide, it is not hard to live for God. I remember those testimonies we used to hear in church. Oh, I've been living for God 25 years. It gets harder and harder. And I'm thinking, man, get a hold of the book. It ain't that hard. We make it hard by not doing what we need to do. All this good stuff. Psalms 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law, for it in thy meditations all the day. For through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Psalms 1. I love this verse. It just is awesome. This is the first chapter, the first book of Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know what it said? It said, if you'll put this word in you and you'll meditate on it, then God will help you. He'll prosper you. He'll bring forth the fruit of your life when it ought to be happening. Church, can I tell you, if you'll sell out to God, you might have trouble, but it won't be as bad as if you didn't sell out. Glory. Glory. That's good stuff. Amen. But now notice this, number two. Not only do we need to pray or read the Bible, but we must pray. It never ceases to amaze me that everybody in this building will tell you, oh yeah, preacher, we need to pray, but you don't do it until you get in trouble. And then, oh, we got to pray. You'd be surprised how many people make it a prayer meeting when something goes wrong. Come on, church, smile at me. We say we're going to have a meal out back, we'll fill the building up. We can have a singing and everybody will show up. We call a prayer meeting and you can't pay folks to come out. But then you ask them, what about prayer? I love to pray. I'm going to tell you something, folks. If you say you love to pray, you ain't never done it. Well, I had some people look at me like that. What do you mean, preacher? I love to pray. I've never seen you at prayer meeting. But I'm going to tell you something else. If you pray, you understand prayer is not something you love. Because it's a war. It's a battle. Every time you pray, you got to fight against yourself and the spiritual things that come against you, because your body and your spirit person does not want to get down and pray and spend time. I mean, it's not a problem for the first 5-10 minutes. You can think of a whole lot of stuff. Then you start running out of stuff to pray. You got to work at it. Your body starts hurting. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but my knees are going to hurting. My ankles will start hurting. My back will get to hurting. Come on, church. Why is that? Because the fleshly man don't want to make that sacrifice. It doesn't want to call on the name of God. But I understand something. If I pray, I've got a God who will be attentive to what I'm saying and will hear my prayer and then will answer my prayer. Come on, church. Amen. Oh, I don't know why y'all ain't shouting. This is the word of God, but y'all just, what's he doing this for? Thanksgiving's next week. We'll be thankful next week. Glory. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks for his will of God. If Jesus Christ concerning you, quench not the spirit. John 14, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify the Son. Amen. For if ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me and keep my commandments. Oh, wait a minute. I can pray God to hear me. If you love him and you keep his commandments, then you can talk to him. Glory. Oh, that's good preaching. Some of you sitting there say, well, they're not supposed to. Listen, I got a letter somewhere. I'll have to look, find it. But it was written by a youth pastor at a church that said, if there's stipulations on the Word of God and we've got to live by the stipulations, then that's not good news. Why isn't it? Is it not good news that if I live by the commandments of the Lord and I call on Him, then He will hear and answer my prayer? But is it because I got to make a sacrifice myself to get what I need from God that makes it not good news? Is it because I got to quit just giving up and doing what I want to do and do what He wants me to do that makes it so bad? Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all look and say, what are you talking about? It's the good news, but the good news said if I love Him and I keep His commandments, then God will hear and God will answer when I call on Him. But if I don't love Him and I don't keep His commandments, I got no right to expect Him to bless me. John 16:24, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. Well, preacher, you believe that? Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, neither that it cannot save, neither is ears heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Hello? I said, preacher, what are you talking about? See, church, if we have trouble in our lives, problems in us. Psalm 66:18, David said, if I regard iniquity, unconfessed sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I see some of y'all right now, I don't agree with that preacher. I don't care if you do or not, it's the Word of God. It's a problem some of y'all got. You think you can live like you want to all week long, run in here and pray on Sunday morning, and God just goes, yes, oh, thank God you showed up. David said, if I've got unconfessed sin in my heart, the first thing I got to do is deal with the sin. And when I deal with the sin, then God will hear my prayer. Because unabide to what some of you believe, God is more concerned about your eternal health than He is whether you get blessed. And so I tell him, I said, well, preacher, I'm here because God wants to bless me. You've been listening to them preachers on TV. And they idiots. They don't even believe what they're preaching. They just know you won't send their money if they preach the truth. So they tell you what you want to hear so they can keep the money coming in, so they can stay on TV and keep flying in their big planes and have a wonderful time. I don't know why it's so quiet. I'm going to run down the front row and amen myself. Glory. I told you it's going to take a while. I'm not nowhere near through, so y'all just buckle your seatbelts. It's 12, I know. Glory. I still got my good watch, though. It's a quarter to you. Glory. Maybe I won't have to hit it again. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? If God simply wanted to bless you, you'd have died the minute you got saved. Because there is nothing in this world ever going to compare what you're going to have over there. Come on, church. So if all I'm here for is to be blessed, I wouldn't be here. I am here because God needs somebody who will live in this world to show this world what it looks like to be a Christian, so I can be a light to a lost and dying world. And for me to do that, I've got to pray to keep the fire of God in my heart and the love of God in my heart. I've got to keep my iniquities under the blood so that there's no separation between me and God. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it said, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to church folks who have closed the door between Him and God because you let things get in your life that don't need to be there. But He said, if you'll only come and open the door, I'll come in unto you. I'll sup with you. I'll bless you. What's He saying? If you'll kneel down and pray and call on my name, I will hear and I will answer and I will touch your life. Oh, glory to God. Prayer is important. Prayer is necessary. And without prayer, we're not going to make it. Come on, church. That's good preaching. Some of y'all didn't like that. You really going to be upset with this one. We must give. Malachi chapter 3. I quoted this one morning, take up the offering. And someone came to me and says, that ain't in the Bible. I said, if you don't pay your tithes, you're robbing God. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8, will a man rob God?
yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? For you're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. But bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour ye out blessings, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer. Hello? He said, notice this, if you don't pay your tithes, you rob me. But if you pay them, then those that rob you, I'll get rid of them. I'll rebuke the devourer that has come against you. Somebody say, oh, the devil's been all over me. Pay your tithes, be faithful to God, and the devil can't ride you. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Oh, that's good preaching. Some of you looking at me like, oh, preacher, I told you it's going to upset some of you. Glory. But it's the truth. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. If we take care of God's business first, God will take care of our business. Hello? David said this in Psalm 37, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteousness forsaken or his seed begging bread. Hello? If we pay our tithes, listen, when I came into church, I was taught that it was a commandment of God. It wasn't just something you did because you wanted to. Hello? I wasn't taught that by the preacher. I came into the church at Buell, and everybody started telling me, man, you need to start paying your tithe. Preacher didn't say nothing. Now, my home church is a little weird. There's folks in my home church around the house when you talk about paying tithes better than they will when you talk about going to heaven. Some of y'all, you talk about paying tithes, y'all sit there. You start doing the gospel blues, y'all run all over the building because all you can think about is heaven. I'm getting real popular. Pull my car up by this door, son. I may have to make a quick exit. Glory. I am preaching the truth. Some of you need to understand the reason your financial problems are where they are because God comes second or third down your list. But if you'll put God first, God will be faithful to you if you're faithful to him. Come on, church. Well, I pay offerings. You don't give a thing if you ain't paid your tithes. Because until you paid your tithes, you ain't give anything. It's when you paid your tithes, then God blesses a cheerful giver. Come on, church. Oh. Give me scripture. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, not yet, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. It is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment, for behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into the barn, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Hello? 28th verse, and why take ye thought of raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little of little faith? If you're faithful to God, God will take care of you. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. I'm minded of an older lady who prayed for God to help her. She was raising her grandkids and she was on a fixed income. I'm now on a fixed income. I get paid the same thing every week. I used to get tickled, folks come in. I'm on a fixed income. I said, wow, I wish I could have one. 35 years, I didn't have a fixed income. I lived on whatever came in. Nod your head. Well, you make good money. That's what people thought. They thought all evangelists got rich. They weren't with me when I left the church on Sunday night and got $125 for the week and had to go home and try to explain to my wife how we were going to exist on that. Come on, church. But we made it. I ain't complaining. But I wasn't on a fixed income. Now I'm on a fixed income. I know every week what I'm going to get. Glory. Somebody said, well, that's not what we're talking about. We're on a fixed income. We ain't got nothing. you still got God. See, before I ever got saved, I had this in my face. My granddaddy had to retire from the steel plant in Gadsden, Alabama, when I was a little fella. He retired before my grandmother died. My grandmother died, I was like 8. My granddaddy, when he died at 97 years old, still paid his tithes according to what he'd be making if he was working, not what he was getting. Because he said, I still believe God will bless me for what I give. So I go to the union hall and find out what they're paying people who's working my job, and I figure up my salary, and I pay my tithes on what I'm getting. And even when he was sick, he'd call the preacher and say, you need to come by my house, and he'd give him his tithes. My aunt would throw a fit. Daddy, you ain't got no money. He said, but I got my tithes. My house is paid for. I don't need no money. I'm going to pay my tithe. Some of y'all know this story. My granddaddy was 95 years old. He is still dating. Glory. Had a wreck coming back from his girlfriend's house one night. My aunt went and told the banker, said, don't loan him no money. Daddy don't need another car. I went to check on him a couple weeks later. He had a brand new car. I said, Papa, where'd you get the car? I bought it. I said, where'd you get the money? He said, your aunt thinks I'm a baby. Told that guy at the bank not to loan me no money. I'm a man. I've been borrowing money since I was 17. I said, where'd you get the money? He said, come here, son. Don't give me up. You rat me out, I'm going to be mad at you. He goes back to the old shift room. There's a bunch of old shoe boxes in it. He comes down from the corner, comes over from a side, pulls a shoe box out, and he said, this is my stash. He had $10,000 in the stupid shoe box. After he paid for the car, he said, I got to have money. I like to go out on dates. Glory. Somebody said, how did you get all that money? I have no idea. He paid his tithes. He was faithful to God. And God blessed him. When I came up, him and my grandmother cooked lunch every Sunday for everybody they could find in the church to bring home. They fed anywhere from 40 to 50 people every Sunday afternoon in her house. My grandmother thought that was her ministry because she'd walk by people and say, honey, y'all come to the house today. We got a meal. And she'd feed people every Saturday at her or every Sunday at her house. You say, well, what good did that do? Because there was that several guys, including some that's pastoring the Church of God right now, got saved in my grandmother's living room on one of them Sunday afternoons when she fed them. I remember one guy told me, said she didn't know it, but we didn't even have money to buy groceries, and she took us home and fed us and gave us leftovers, and we had food for 2 or 3 days. And he said, I remember getting saved in that living room, praying through the day. He pastors a Church of God in Alabama, and he said, I'll never forget your grandmother and the way she produced in my life and what she did for me. And I'm going to tell you something, they did it on a fixed income, but they were faithful to God, and because they gave, God gave back to them. People would come by and give to them. That little old lady trying to feed her grandkids hadn't forgot it. She's down praying, oh God, I gotta have help. Her neighbor, an atheist, decided he'd help her out. He goes to the store and buys a bill of groceries. For those of you city folks, he went and bought her groceries. Country folk call that making a bill of groceries. Amen. He got her a load of groceries, brought them, set them on her porch. She opened the door, seen all them grocery bags, started carrying around the house. She was just shouting, woo, glory to God, God's blessed me. He ran up and said, hey, lady, God didn't buy them groceries, I did. What do you think of that? I don't believe in God. She said, whoa, God blessed me because he used the devil to buy it. Glory. Last but not least, we've got to learn to win the lost. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The whole purpose God came to this world was so that you and I and everyone like us could have eternal life. Proverbs 11:30, for the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Christians produce other Christians. Psalms chapter 126, and I'm going to close in a moment. For they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When's the last time you prayed and cried over somebody that was lost? When's the last time you read the obituary notice in the news and just read over it and looked and said, God, how many of them people were really ready? How many of them were really saved? When's the last time you talked to somebody you knew wasn't a Christian and you made it a point of saying, God, I want to see them saved, and you was willing to weep a little while to see them won? When's the last time you looked over your loved ones, your family? Do y'all realize the harvest we'd have in this church if we won our loved ones? We want our family, our neighbors. Listen, stand with me. I was preaching in Louisiana, revival. One of the men of the church was back from Vietnam. He was flight surgeon on a helicopter. Some of y'all saw that helicopter on the news and in clips over the years. It was the last helicopter to leave the top of the U.S. consulate in Saigon when we pulled out. The people were running, trying to get on the helicopter because they did not want to go under communist domination. This guy had picked up a child on that roof and took it with him into the helicopter. The child was standing there and he was screaming and he was reaching, trying to get into the helicopter. And he said, I jumped out, grabbed him. He's a little boy, about 4 or 5 years old. He said, I took him in the helicopter. The child lives with him. He's raising that child as his own. He's adopted him. He brought him back to America and he lives with him. I met the child. He was a young teenager at the time. He said, never amazed me, preacher. When we got back to the carrier, he said, once the helicopter pulled off the roof, the kid fought me trying to get out of the helicopter. Almost made it out the door to kill himself. When we got to the aircraft carrier, he ran to the side and we had to grab him to keep him from jumping overboard. He said, I couldn't understand all the thing he was saying. Finally, one of the interpreters got him and talked with him. He said he wasn't wanting to kill himself, but he had left his family in Saigon and he didn't want them to stay in hell. He wanted them to go to heaven with him, or to America as he called it, but to America to him was eternal life, because he knew what it would be there. At 5 or 6 years old, he didn't want to leave his mama, his dad, his brothers, his sisters. What would happen if this church took on the mentality that everybody around us is lost, is important enough, that we don't want to see them die and go to hell? We don't want to lose them. He said, but preacher, I don't know what to say. You have to say a whole lot of nothing. You just got to love them. You just got to show Christ to them. I've learned over the years that if you care about people, it doesn't matter what you say, as long as you love them, they'll find a way to get to where you are. I mean, I've won people to the Lord in some very weird ways. Some of you would say, oh, I can't believe you did that. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I won them. That's all that matters. I can't believe you did that. I told some folks about giving a prostitute $20 one night, and they got all upset. It wasn't their money. I won her to the Lord. That was the bottom line I was after. I talked about sitting down with some winos in the Bowery and passing a bottle of wine around them. They wouldn't have sat there if there hadn't been wine. But I left there with four of those guys. Oh, I didn't drink, so y'all don't go jumping crazy. I just bought the wine. See, I lost some of you on that. I wouldn't have done that. You wouldn't have won those guys of the Lord either. Because they wouldn't sit there and listen to me talk about Jesus. They could care less about that. They wanted wine. But I took four of them out of that backyard with me. And I walked them down the street into the church. They gave their heart to God. 2 years later, I was back. Two of them were associate pastors of the church. But you got to care. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, for your presence, for your power. Holy Spirit of God, touch us today with your love and your blessings.